You can come by money in lots of different ways. Hard work, maybe through an inheritance, or certainly by investing. But is all investing for profit created equal? Well, not according to God's Word. Yep, the Bible says there are two kinds of profit, ill-gotten versus well-gotten gain. How can you tell the difference? Well, host Rob West talks with investing expert Jason Meyer today to find out. Now, today's broadcast is pre-recorded. Don't try to call in, but also don't go away. Lots of good information coming up. I'm Steve Moore. Avoiding sources of bad profit. That's straight ahead right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, Jason Meyer is co-founder and managing partner of Eventide, an underwriter of MoneyWise, and today he's all set to give us a biblical perspective of investing.
Yeah, and as with anything we talk about here on MoneyWise, we start with God's Word and apply those principles and passages to how we handle God's money, because remember, we are stewards, and Jason, a delight to have you back with us on MoneyWise.
It's really great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, of course, our goal is to equip Christians to think biblically about their finances, and I believe that includes using money in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord. As a Christian in the investing world, I'd love for you to share your view on investing from a faith perspective. And by the way, as we've said many times, this is really a personal conviction matter, and so we would encourage you to think deeply about this, explore the scriptures, and come to your own personal convictions. But Jason, I'd love for you to begin to tee that topic up for us today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I would say right here at the outset that the idea of thinking about investing and integrating our faith into our investment decision making might seem strange. I mean, for one, investing is a relatively new thing in history. It simply wasn't around when scripture was being written. And so we might think, well, what does the Bible really have to say about this, if anything? And then two, many of us tend to view things like the economy or business or investing almost as morally neutral. And so do we really even need to bring the Bible into these conversations? But I think, certainly on your show, Rob, you talk often about the fact that Scripture has plenty to say about money, how we use money, how we spend it, and relevant to investing, how we get it. I mean, after all, investing is just one of the ways that we can get money in this life or earn money. And so we, from that perspective, certainly, there are a wealth of passages that could help illuminate the task of investing from a Christian perspective.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a helpful way to view investing as just one of many ways we can earn money. Tell me, Jason, what passages have been especially meaningful to you as you've thought about profit as well as the topic of investing?
Probably my favorite passage on this subject is the very first lesson we encounter in the book of Proverbs. In the Bible, Proverbs chapter 1 opens up really with us listening in on a conversation that's taking place between a wise father and his son. And the father is speaking to his son, and he says, look, there may be times in life where you're presented with an opportunity to make a profit from activities that are really coming from harm towards others or at the expense of others. And the example that the father uses is of a group of people that are planning to ambush and rob some travelers along a desolate road, which was actually a pretty common occurrence in the ancient world. And the robbers, of course, come to the son and they say, come along with us. Let's ambush some harmless soul. This is the promise of riches. We'll fill our houses with plunder and get all sorts of valuable things. And the wise father tells his son, watch out. These are bad prophets. The phrase that's used in Proverbs 1 is a phrase we don't often hear. It's ill-gotten gain. And a modern translation might simply be bad profit or immoral profit or unethical profit, profits that are coming from activities that are harming others. And the father is essentially telling his son that, hey, not all profits are good for us. In fact, he actually says that these bad profits will take away our very lives, and not just because the activity itself is dangerous. And wow, if you think about this, when I first read this, it was so surprising to me because many of us don't even have a category for bad profit or unethical profit. Bad profit, to me, almost sounds like an oxymoron, two words that, shouldn't exist side by side. And what's so amazing to me about this passage is that God is really giving us his perspective on profit. This isn't just a father talking to his son, but through God's word, God the Father is speaking to us, his sons and daughters, and God is telling us to avoid these these bad profits, which is certainly an important category, I think, to bring into thinking about our investments, which are often out of sight and out of mind.
Well, I know after the break, we're going to turn the corner and talk about well-gotten gains. So a lot more to come on this topic.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. Our special guest, Jason Meyer from Eventide Asset Management. We'll be back with more after this.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
For 30 years, Sound Mind Investing has been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Our friend Lori was shopping with her grandson in a Christian bookstore on Good Friday. They saw a painting of Jesus nailed to the cross, and her grandson said, "Grandma, look, can we buy it? It's the last one. If we don't buy it, someone else will get it." When I heard that story, I thought, that boy has the right idea. Make Jesus yours while you can. See, the Bible says, call upon the Lord while he is near. And it says the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Now, you may know a lot about Jesus. You have a religion that's all about Jesus. But maybe you've never made Jesus your Savior from your sin. You've never been to that cross where he died to pay for your sin and said, "Jesus, this is for me. You died there for me. And right now I'm pinning all my hopes on what you did on that cross for me." Like the Bible says, the right time is now. What better time than this very time when he died for you and rose again to give you life? Contact us at 888-NEED-HIM or chataboutjesus.com. It's your time. Now.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
Happy you're with us today on MoneyWise Live. Your host, Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. In some circles today, the word profit or the term profit sounds like a dirty word. But what we're saying here today, I think, the biblical approach is how do you acquire your profit and what do you do with it once you have it?
Yeah, and I think as believers, we obviously want to run everything through a scriptural lens. And our good friend Jason Meyer of Eventide Asset Management is here today talking to us about the source of our profit and perhaps how we should think about that and even choosing our investments. Jason, you were just unpacking a passage from Proverbs talking about ill-gotten gain and how we might think about the source of the wealth that we're generating. But there's a flip side to that, and that you might call well-gotten gain. How do we think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about ill-gotten gain being profits that are derived from some activity that's harming others. These are bad profits. But there is, by implication, such a thing as well-gotten gain, or we might say good profits. These are profits that we can feel proud to receive, profits that we're proud to hold up to God. Good profits would be the polar opposite of bad profits. And we could say from this passage that we were discussing in Proverbs chapter 1, good profits would be profits that are coming as a byproduct of really serving well the needs of others. And so from Proverbs chapter 1, we get this lesson, really, in this first teaching, that as the wise son or wise daughter, we are to avoid any schemes of bad profit and instead seek out opportunities for good profit. And I think the writer of Hebrews here is making a very simple but profound point that we should seek to build our livelihood, all the ways in which we earn our money, from activities that we can feel good about from a Christian perspective.
Yeah. Well, it's an important insight that profit can be either good or bad, and that's a new idea for many, as you point out. So as we approach investing, you're saying we should pay as much attention to what's generating the profits we receive as we do the profits themselves. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a really, really important insight, and you nailed it. You know, for most of us, we tend to jump past this in investing and ask questions like, well, what are the financial returns of this investment over the last 3, 5, 10 years, what have you? But for all of us that are trying to have our decisions shaped by God's word, these passages on ill-gotten and well-gotten gain, we should be asking more fundamental questions about good and bad profits. Questions like, where is this profit coming from? And what are the sources of these profits? What are the business activities that are generating these profits? And do we feel good about where this money is coming from our Christian faith perspective? You know, one illustration that's been helpful for me to keep this in mind is to see every dollar in our wallet as having a story to it. It's not just a dollar in our wallets, but there's a story for how it came to be there. And every dollar that flows into our wallets or our bank accounts, or to take it back to investing, our IRAs and our 401ks, it has a story to it. And God's word encourages us, I think, to think about these stories, about how these dollars came to be in our hands, and not just how many dollars we might be able to accumulate or even what good things we could do with that money later.
You know, the way we allocate God's money says what we value. It really does tell a story. And I think often we apply that perhaps to the spending we do or the giving, but perhaps we leave out the investing that we do as well. And so I think that's an important notion, that everything we use money for has a story to it. So help us apply these ideas about good and bad profits to investing. How do we put this into practice?
I'll just say this is actually where it gets very, very difficult, Rob. You know, many of us are investing in an investment vehicle like a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund or in some menu item on a 401k. We actually have no idea what companies we even own. I think about Randy Alcorn, who's a Christian pastor. Some of you will know him. He's certainly written a lot about money topics, and he once said, "The average Christian whose retirement program is in mutual funds or stocks managed by others has no clue where God's money is actually going." I think that resonates certainly with me. There are many, many layers to investing, and it can be really difficult to peel back that onion and really understand what's generating these profits and are they good or bad. If we were to do that work, I can tell you, just working on the inside of the industry, I'm sorry to report that, you know, many of us would be dismayed to see some of the things that we profit from. There's a few kind of egregious categories of business that are very common to have exposure to in investing, such as profits that are coming from abortion or pornography, tobacco, gambling, things that, you know, I don't even like making mention of, but you know, are there nonetheless.
Well, clearly that's one of the exciting things that's happening in this faith-based investing space, where there's a growing number of investment solutions available to Christians, either through their advisor or directly, where they can apply their faith, their values to their investments. And as you said, Jason, that can include things like what they want to avoid. And so you can screen the kinds of companies out that you just described, if that's your conviction, or you can embrace certain companies where you'd screen in companies that are aligned with God's heart. Let's go there for a moment. What do good profits look like, and how does that translate into the investment world?
Really, that first place that we started about the bad profits and wanting to have integrity at the level of taking care that our profits are coming from good sources, that's really kind of step one, really towards the ultimate goal of seeking out opportunities for good profit where we can really feel proud of the kinds of things that we're involved in. And investing is actually one of those ways where we get to participate in all kinds of businesses. You know, one of the things that I think about is I'll never have the opportunity to pursue a career in biotechnology, you know, not to mention that I may not have the intellect for that, but you know, I'll never get to do that as a career. But as an investor, I get to own companies like that. And so some of the positives that we are really excited to embrace from a faith perspective would be things like biotechnology, where we're investing with a purpose of seeing companies really develop treatments that are hopefully curing many devastating diseases. Or we could think about there's new technologies that are being applied to automobiles that are making driving significantly safer for all of us. And There's over a million fatalities each year. 90% are due to human driving errors. And so these things like lane departure warnings or automatic braking, these are things that are saving lives and making driving safer and more enjoyable. And then even the ability to harness God's natural resources to generate power, the natural elements of the sun, wind, and water to power civilization and to build on a legacy of growth that we've experienced in the developing world. And really many, many, many other areas. It's just the problems are there, but there's also so many businesses that we feel like are well aligned with God's design for business and the whole testimony of Scripture that we can really feel good about. And faith-based investing is really one of those ways to gain exposure to it. I guess I'll kind of wrap my thought here by just saying at our company, we describe this approach to investing, this faith-based approach to investing, as investing that makes the world rejoice, where we're trying to help people save for their futures in ways that are harmonious with their values, that are flowing from good kinds of profit, and that are actually capitalizing blessing in the lives of others in the world today. It's something we're so, so excited about.
Well, Jason, this is really exciting work that you and the team at Eventide Asset Management are doing. And I know believers, when they find out that this is even an option, that they can align their values with their investments in a way that makes the world rejoice, they're so excited. So let me just encourage our listeners to check out the information, the blogging, the resources that you have at your website, and really appreciate you being with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Jason Meyer of Eventide Asset Management, our guest today. You can find out more about faith-based investing at eventidefunds.com. This is MoneyWise Live. I'm Steve Moore. Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any calls, but we have some calls lined up and some great information coming your way. We'll be right back.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Right standing before God. I want you to imagine that. If you've got my kind of background and some kind of thought, I love that portion of Scripture in the New Testament says he is not ashamed to call us brothers or sisters. If you've lived with as much shame as I have, you constantly think, surely he is ashamed of me. Right standing before God. I got to tell you something. I do want to just share this with you about that word for a moment. I don't know if it even makes a clicking connection to somebody else, but it's just what I thought of today as I was just staring at that word. There are so many of us that believe that we're in because, that God tolerates us and that he really likes so-and-so, but he tolerates us. Am I on to anything here? You are welcome, welcome here. Among those given right standing before God, you actually get to stand up. I don't know if you have trouble picturing that we'll ever go up before God. It just seems like we'll just, wah, and that's where we'll just be for eternity while he's going, get up. But right standing, right there, justified.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store. Thanks for listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, a real pleasure to have you with us today. This is MoneyWise Live. I'm Steve Moore, that other guy over there, the guy with the answers. He's Rob West, and we're happy to have you with us on the program today. However, we are pre-recorded. We won't be taking your calls, but we've lined up some calls in advance that I think you'll find interesting, helpful, and practical. At least we've tried to make them that way. So stick around. This is MoneyWise Live. Let's go directly to our phones. Let's begin, Rob, by going out to Missouri. Speaking of fair game, Shane, I understand you want to buy some hunting land, huh?
Yes.
Okay, what's your question and what's your situation there?
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your show and your program. But
sure.
Yeah, I've got some land. My dad's wondering if I would want to go in and partner with buying, and I didn't know the long-term outcome on that and if it would be a good investment, and, you know, just...
Yeah. Sure. So tell me a little bit about your situation first, if you don't mind, Shane, just in terms of are you living on a spending plan? Do you have an emergency fund? And maybe thirdly, are you saving for the long term?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about – oh, go ahead.
I make about $3,000 a month. My wife, she makes around $60 a year. So and we have an IRA and I'm 40. She's 41. So,
okay, very good. And are you putting money away just in the IRAs, or are you saving through a company-sponsored plan of some kind?
Well, she is, and I'm disabled right now, so that's that.
All right. I'm sorry to hear that. Tell me about any debt that you have.
We do have some debt from, I'd say, her student loan and. A car, $5,000, and an expedition.
Okay. Any credit card debt?
Very little.
Okay. And so you're living on a spending plan. Do you have a good account of what your monthly expenses are, both what I'll call the discretionary, the non-recurring expenses, but also the monthly bills? Do you have that written down, and do you track the flow of money in and out each month?
Not really track it, but... Okay. We pretty well know
sure.
where everything goes, and we're pretty tight on things.
And in any given month, do you usually have some left over at the end of the month?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And are you making some progress toward the student loans? How long do you think it's going to take to pay that off?
Well, the student loan debt is, she's a teacher, so that's supposed to be forgiven, she said, so.
Okay.
However that works.
Yep. So she's on track over 10 years to have that forgiven, and she's done her homework to make sure that she qualifies for that, the best you understand?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So from your standpoint, you really feel like you're on track to be debt-free. You've got this car loan, but you mentioned that you are saving for retirement, both in the form of an IRA as well as through her company-sponsored plan. All right, let's talk about the land. You know, land can be a fine investment. It's not my first choice for somebody who's trying to put together a well-diversified long-term savings plan and get a return on that, just because it tends to be somewhat illiquid. There are a number of factors related to raw land and in terms of how they're going to appreciate. Depending upon whether or not there's infrastructure there, whether or not it's accessible by the various roads that need to be put in, if there aren't any currently, whether there's any ongoing development of single-family homes or other dwellings in that area, and whether those are going to be desirable. So there's just really a number of considerations. And, you know, for most folks who are still kind of building their financial foundation, trying to get out of debt, debt, trying to save for the future, handling their monthly expenses, doing their giving, all of that, it really would be not my first go-to if we're just looking at it as an investment. I'd rather see you invest in the stock and bond market with a well-diversified portfolio. And if you wanted to move into real estate, I'd rather see you go towards something that's more income-generating as opposed to just raw land. Now, if you're buying it for another purpose, such as a hobby, you're going to farm the land, you're going to hunt the land, whatever it might be, that's completely different. But help me understand whether it's really, in your mind, truly something you're doing as an investment versus something that's really just a hobby that you want to have some fun on.
Yeah, it's not for the necessarily the investment. It's for actually hunting. It's okay. Trees, mainly all trees is what it is.
Okay. So then I think the question is, are you financially in a position to buy this piece of property for a hobby? And is this a good idea at this point in your life, given, you know, you guys are 40, you're trying to make some progress in your financial life? Do you have the financial wherewithal to do this? And I would say, you know, I'd think long and hard about that, especially if you're going to have to take on some debt to do it. Do you have the money saved up to make this purchase, even if you're going in with somebody, or are you planning to borrow to do it?
Well, it'll be a borrowed loan.
Okay. Okay, so I'd be hesitant there without really taking a long, hard look at your priorities. I'd start, you and your wife, sitting down and say, what are our values and ultimately our goals? I'd give that some prayerful consideration. What do we want to do in terms of our lifestyle, in terms of our giving, in terms of our long-term and short-term savings goals, the things that are important to us? If you have kids, saving for college, those kinds of things. And as you look at those things, I would look at where this fits into that. Nothing wrong with buying a piece of property to hunt on, that's great. But I just want to make sure that it fits into your overall plan and that if you have to take on some debt to do it, that you understand the implications of that, that most certainly you'd want to make sure that it is something that's going to appreciate, that as if you're married, that you and your wife are completely in agreement on that and that you have the backing to do it. What if you lost your job? So I'd look at all those things, give it some prayerful consideration before you move forward.
And Shane, we wish you the best with that. I've been Googling while you've been talking. It doesn't look like a huge money-making proposition if you have to buy the land, but we'll be praying with you. Thanks. You're listening to a best-of broadcast of MoneyWise Live. This program is pre-recorded, but we'll be back live with you tomorrow, so please hold your questions and give us a call then. Or you can email us at questions@moneywiselive.org. questions@moneywiselive.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, I'm Clara, a communications student here with the Moody Bible Institute Verse of the Week. It's found in Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. That's Isaiah 54:10, the Moody Bible Institute Verse of the Week.
Moody Bible Institute founder Dwight Lyman Moody once said,
"Take courage. We walk in the wilderness today, but in the promised land, tomorrow." For Christ followers, we walk with a mission to share the gospel of Christ. Each day provides opportunity to invest in this mission. A charitable gift annuity to benefit Moody provides life income to you with the remainder supporting the work of the Moody Bible Institute. To find out much more, call 1-800-801-2171. That's 800-801-2171.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump and the Senate's top Republicans are meeting amid increasing worry that the bipartisan coronavirus relief negotiations might collapse. The rival sides are inching toward a self-imposed end-of-the-week deadline for a deal. Democratic leaders accuse the Republicans of making proposals that would nickel and dime the nation's children. Republicans say the Democrats are just stonewalling the president's negotiators. Ohio's governor has tested positive for the coronavirus just ahead of a planned meeting with President Trump. Republican Governor Mike DeWine's office says he took that test as part of standard protocol before meeting Mr. Trump. Stocks closing higher on Wall Street today. The Dow gained 185 points. The NASDAQ was ahead 109, and the S&P 500 up 21. This is SRN News.
It's MoneyWise Live, trying to determine what God's plan is for your life and your finances. And you don't want our opinions. Really, you want God's opinion. Thankfully, he's given us his thoughts and opinions and directives in his word, the Bible. And that's where we begin that process of figuring these things out. Back to our phones, Aurora, Illinois. And Jasmine, thanks for your patience. What's on your mind?
I am a recently divorced mom of three boys, and I have about $45,000 worth of credit card debt and very low income, unfortunately. I go with my, you know, flexible schedule with three kids, of an Uber and Lyft driver, and literally kind of living paycheck to paycheck. So, and everything covers $500 rent, living with family, and then pretty much food and credit cards every month. And so child support is only $492 a month. And I'm trying to figure out what's the best route to go with $50,000 in 401k, which hasn't been divvied yet, up yet since the divorce from my ex-husband. But just trying to figure out if it's better to go with debt management or bankruptcy to kind of get a fresh foot forward to take from the 401k when that's done with the divorce. So I'm not quite sure what direction to go for the future.
Yeah. Jasmine, I'm sorry to hear about this situation. I know this is a lot of pressure on you. You're trying to be a mom to these three boys. You're trying to provide. You've got a lot in the way of debt. And financially, I realize this can just feel like a huge weight. And so, first of all, I just want to encourage you. It sounds like you're doing an incredible job managing all of this. None of this got by surprise. And he is your provider. And so we're going to ask the MoneyWise community to be praying for you. We'll certainly do that before we finish today. And I'm really, really glad you called. Tell me, the credit card debt of $45,000, is that all going to be your responsibility? Or is there still some question as to how that is divvied up?
Yeah, on my end, yeah. Okay. And that's literally because we've been divorced for 2 years. We're still trying to iron out things as far as that goes, as far as the 401k. Kind of something that's just been a held up for on that end.
Sure. But the child support, as you said, has already been determined.
Right.
Okay.
It actually does need to be reassessed. I do know, thanks to people kind of, you know, listening and reaching out, people have told me that unfortunately something didn't seem right with the with the child support, with the new law. It just turned out that the attorney had put in the wrong amount of days and had given us 50-50 when it was actually, I have majority, according to what we agreed upon, just the calculations weren't right. So I do know that we need to go back to court. It's just something that I'm kind of holding off a little bit since he just started a new job. So
I see. Okay. Do you have a sense, Jasmine, of what you need to bring in each month to cover all of the fixed and discretionary expenses, to be able to cover your taxes, to be able to cover the minimum service on the debt, plus the small rent amount you're paying? Do you know what that is?
It's got to be at least $4,000 for the month.
Okay. And what are you averaging right now?
Right now, probably about $32,000.
Okay.
And yeah, with the help of, you know, whenever my ex-husband can send over a little bit more.
Okay. And so the gap between the $3,200 and $4,000 that you really need on a monthly basis of roughly $800 a month, you're just month to month trying to figure that out. Where is that going? Are you building up and accruing additional credit card debt? Is your ex-husband able to step in and help that? Is family helping with that? Where is that going?
Well, unfortunately, the debt's been accruing due to the fact that unforeseen, you know, circumstances, like because I have to use my vehicle. So I've had a lot of vehicle issues where I've had to fork out. I think the last one was like, oh, my gosh, like $1,800. And that was money I didn't have. And I had to ask him for a advance for literally 2 months of child support to help and a family member, which I, of course, had to pay back. And then my son got sick, my little one, my six-year-old got sick. And so I was out of work for another week. So I don't get vacation or sick days. So it's literally kind of like a buildup of things just happening.
Well, we've got to turn a corner here, obviously, and certainly we don't want to file bankruptcy. It's a last resort. You won't find it in God's word. It's a modern legal term that we've created, and there may be a situation where you're forced into that because there's simply no other option. That doesn't mean you can't go back and, as the Lord provides over time, repay all of this debt, because we know we should have an absolute commitment to repay as believers. But I understand you're faced with what is reality right now in front of you, and you just have to take one step at a time, trust the Lord, ask him to provide. Let's see how he does that even miraculously along the way. Let's take the steps you can take, but at some point that may become your only option. And if it is, you can navigate that from a godly perspective as well. Two things. Number one is, does your church know about your situation? Have they stepped in to help? Is there real understanding there of what you're facing? And perhaps could they be of some assistance?
I haven't reached out to the church. Honestly, I've gone to the church a few times. It's kind of like a new church that I'm going to, but I, with my hours, my kids being at their dad's house, every weekend, I usually work full about 14 to 16 hours a day on the weekend.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm really losing out on the church family versus, you know, listening to you guys and Charles Stanley whenever I can.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would really encourage you. I realize you've got to get your hours in and you're trying to drive and pay the bills and all of that. But I would really encourage you to start to invest in the body of Christ there locally, where you can build some relationships, you can get to know some people. You need a support system right now more than ever. And certainly family can be that, and it sounds like they are, but you also need a church family that can rally around you as well. Not only financially, although I think that's a part of it, but just relationships. Relationally, helping with the kids, things like that. And I think there really is no replacement for that. Even if you have to, you know, stop driving for, you know, 90 minutes on a Sunday morning and then you jump right back in. I realize you're doing what you have to do to pay the bills, but I'd really encourage you to prayerfully consider where the Lord might plant you and then see what you can do to invest there and make your needs known. Let them know what your situation is, because again, that's part of the role of the body of Christ. I think beyond that, I would love for you to start with Christian Credit Counselors. You can visit with them at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They're going to start by helping you do a budget and give you some real solid counsel to know, first of all, what would the interest rates be on the credit cards? Can you afford to make the payment? They're not going to put you into a debt management program if you can't. And could we get you headed in the right direction? Because obviously you need to get to a place where you've got at least a minimum of $1,000 or $1,500 as an emergency fund, because we know things are going to happen, the car, whatever else it might be, that you're going to have have to fall back on, and any cards that go into a debt management program are going to be canceled. So let's start there. If they say, no, we can't help you, this is, you're not a candidate for debt management, well, then we need to look at some other options. And again, you may have to go the bankruptcy route, even though that doesn't absolve all of the debts in terms of your desire and obligation to pay that back as a believer. So start there, and then Jasmine, reach back out to us. Let us know how that turns out, and let's take it from there. And before we let you go, let me just ask the Lord to be with you right now. Father, we just lift Jasmine and her three precious boys up to you. We know this is a difficult situation, and yet, Lord, you are on the throne. You are her creator. You are her provider. You're right there. And so I pray that you would just give her wisdom. You'd give her discernment. I pray that you would provide even miraculously. We pray in the name of Jesus that people would just respond in an unexplainable way just to help out this family in need. Lord, we just commit her to you. We trust you. We look forward to hearing how you're going to work in this situation, and we'll be sure you get all the glory for that, Father. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Jasmine. Thank you so much for calling us. When we come back, Joe has some debt problems. Wynette wants to know about her pension. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We're going to take a brief break, and then we'll be back with more MoneyWise Live.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. The more urgent the need, the more rewarding the experience for rescuing people from disaster, and you have that opportunity every day. What could be a bigger disaster than being left behind after the rapture that might happen at any moment? Clearly, we're living in unusual days that could be the last days. And knowing this brings a higher sense of urgency, clarity. When you're at the office or out in public, most of those around you will miss the rapture if it happens before someone, before you, warn them about what's ahead. And God makes it clear in Ezekiel 3:19 that he's appointed you to warn them and will hold you accountable if you don't. It's not an option. If you knew the rapture was happening in an hour, who would you call and what would you say? That's your new highest priority. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
One of America's most famous lighthouses, Cape Hatteras Light, has been guiding ships for nearly two centuries and weathering more than 100 hurricanes. So many lights that we depend on don't always survive the storms. The marriage we thought would last forever, the person who let us down, our health. We need something that's unshakable to guide us through the toughest times. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He is the one certain light that your heart needs. Only he can remove the wall of sin between you and God. For all your storms, dark times, and even for your final journey, there's a light that will always be there. His name is Jesus. To learn more, call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or visit needhim.org.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Great to have you with us today. This is a call-in program. However, MoneyWise Live is not live today. We are pre-recorded, but we hope you'll stick around. We have some things coming up I think will not only surprise you, but will bless you and you'll find helpful. Rup?
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, I'd love to take just a moment before we go back to the phones and just talk about the opportunity that exists to come alongside MoneyWise Media and the MoneyWise radio programs and be a partner. We come to you each day only because of the generous support of our MoneyWise patrons and partners. These are individuals, perhaps like you, that count on MoneyWise. You listen to the program by appointment. You are take advantage of calling in when you have a question. You're a frequent visitor to MoneyWiseLive.org, our website, and take advantage of the resources there. By the way, there are many of them. You've availed yourself of a question for a coach, or perhaps you've engaged one-on-one with one of our volunteer coaches. Whatever it is, we would just ask for you prayerfully to consider partnering with us financially. Beyond the giving you do to your local church, could you give monthly or maybe one time? Whatever that looks like for you, pray about it. If you're married, talk to your spouse. And then click or call. You can do that easily and quickly by going to our website, moneywiselive.org, and just clicking the donate button. Or you can give us a call at any time at 800-525-7000 and talk to one of our volunteers who would love to help you take your gift over the phone. But however you want to do it, we would just be grateful that you'd be willing to stand with us. And by the way, would you pray for us as well as we do God's work here on the front line, sharing His truth about managing His money.
Yep, we can't do it without you, that is for sure. All right, let's go back to our phones, even though, again, today's broadcast is pre-recorded. Joe in Miami, how can we help you, sir?
Well, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate everything you do. I listened to you many times over the years, and just appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
So this is what's going on. I bought my house about 7 years ago. I paid for it cash because I had sold a property up north when I relocated here. I had my cars paid for, no credit card debt. I was really doing well. But then a few things has happened along the way. And in the last 7-8 months, I invested in some stock, and the stock took a tank, and I just recently lost about $80,000. So I got a couple of things to share with you. I had a home equity line of credit, which I took a while back. It was interest only at 6%. And right now that balance is about $72,000. I've got about $25,000 in credit card debt at 14%. And I got car loans about $18,000 at 4.5%. There's two different ones, but it's about the same rate. So the combined payment of those credit cards and the car loans is about $1,073 a month, okay? On my home equity line, my payment interest only is $350. So I've learned that I can refinance that line of credit. Remember, there is no first right now. But that line has about 192,000 line, but I'm only using 72 at 6%. So I can refinance at a 30-year fixed 4%, which I'd be paying principal and interest, and that payment would be 480, just a little slightly above my interest only current.
Yeah.
And the extra dollars from that, the 70 versus 100, I would pay off my car loans and high rate credit card, which I know it's unsecured, the credit card, and I would be securing it, but it would alleviate $1,000 in cash flow for me. And that's where I'm at right now. And I'm struggling with the decision because I've heard you guys talk about this before, but I just wanted to share that with you and get some advice.
Yeah. Joe, I appreciate all the background. That's really helpful. Let me just ask, did you borrow the money on the home equity line of credit for the investment?
I did not. I had other money that I was buying and selling, and it just kind of turned out that way, some weird way. I had borrowed and paid back over the years. At one point, it was kind of a wash. I had the same amount in my investment account. But I had made money and lost money on that investment account, so it wasn't specific for that.
So how did you use the money from the line of credit?
Well, I did hurricane impact windows on the house. Okay. That was about $30,000. I gave my wife some money. We took some vacations. I did other things.
Yeah. Well, here's my concern, Joe. I mean, yeah, on paper, it makes sense for you to, first of all, you've got to right size your monthly budget. We've got to get to where you've got a detailed accounting of what it's going to take to fund your family, starting with not your discretionary and fixed expenses, but starting with what do you all want to do on the monthly basis in the area of giving? What do you want to do on a monthly basis in the area of saving, and for what purposes? What is your effective tax rate, meaning when you look at your income and you divide by the amount of taxes you paid last year, we got to cover that. Beyond that, we want to be reducing any debt that you have, not counting your mortgage. And I realize you don't have a first mortgage, but let's say we did this. And then what does it take to fund your lifestyle, both fixed and discretionary expenses? And all of that is going to then tell us what income you need to be able to do all of those things, to be able to pay off completely your debt, to give, to save, to cover your taxes, and to live. My concern is that because of some of the things you've done in the past in terms of pulling out money against the house at, with a variable rate, paying interest only, playing the stock market, which I would encourage you not to do anymore moving forward, because really that kind of speculation is not supported in Scripture. We should be steady plotters. We shouldn't use a get-rich-quick scheme, and that really is what that is, unless you're a professional investor, and that would be a very small percentage of the people that really make that. They're skilled. They're trained in that area, probably work for an institution, not on their own, and really have the ability to do that. So my fear would be that we'd roll all of this into a new 30-year mortgage. We'd string it out over the next 30 years. The pressure would come off, and guess what? You'd be right back in this position 6 months from now where the debt's back, probably in the form of credit cards, because you haven't really dealt with the underlying issue. So help me understand how you would account for that and what you would do differently moving forward if you paid all of this off and had a fresh start with a new first mortgage.
All right. Well, so thank you for that. I appreciate the feedback. So I have a full spreadsheet on my expenses down to cable, water, property taxes, food, all of that stuff, and all my credit cards. I have a full spreadsheet on all my expenses. I'm putting away 6% of my income, which is matched 6% by my employer, and I've got about $160,000 in my 401k. And I have some other monies right now, so I'm not paycheck to paycheck. And I do have right now an overage of income of about $800 a month after savings, after putting aside for the taxes and the insurance on the property and all that, which I paid separate. So what this would do is it would free up an additional about $1,000. And my goal would be to double up on that mortgage, to pay it down on an automatic payment process. So I would let that money get paid right back to the mortgage to cut it down and pay it off early.
Okay. Well, I'm on board with that. I think the key is you really need to demonstrate to yourself that you can do everything you just said on a monthly basis before you move forward with this. I would not roll the car loan into that. I would go after that separately. I'd try to keep this mortgage as low as possible. What do you think the value of the home is today?
Oh, it's about $450,000.
Okay. All right. So I would only consider at this point doing the home equity loan and this credit card debt, roll that in, but then really focus on, first of all, paying off that car, and then take that extra money and plow it back into this mortgage, at least one extra payment a year, if not more than that. And I know you said you're looking to double it every month, which would be great, but also factor in the other goals that you have along the way and make sure you're tracking the flow of money in and out. So I'm comfortable with this so long as you can really follow through on this plan. And if for some reason you start to see some credit card debt built up that you're not paying off, then I'd like you to cut those cards up and not certainly go down that path again. We appreciate your call today, though. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Joe, very much. You know, Rob, you used a term that some of our callers sometimes use. I occasionally play the stock market. What do they typically mean, and what do you read into that when you hear that terminology?
Well, I think this is somebody who either just as a hobby or perhaps with a certain amount that they've carved out or with the substantial portion of their long-term savings are really trying to move in and out of the market to catch a rising equity, meaning a stock, where they can buy, ride it up, and then sell it. The problem is you have to be able to predict the future in order to do that. And, that just historically and through all the studies that have been done on that type of approach is not a winning strategy. Too high risk. You're not going to do as well over the long term. You should be steady plotters and follow the counsel of Scripture. That means a well-diversified, long-term investment strategy of at least 5 to 10 years, not 5 to 10 days by any means.
All right. Well, speaking of being a steady plotter, there's no man that's a greater proponent of that biblical principle than our good friend Howard Dayton, the founder of Compass. And he talks about that and much, much more in his book, Money and Marriage, God's Way. So, guys, ladies, if you have a difficult time speaking with your spouse about money and finances, particularly at this time of year when we're doing a lot of spending because of the holidays, I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of this book, Money and Marriage, God's Way. You'll find really a practical, timeless, biblical information that will help you communicate better with your spouse and really maximize your spending, your saving, your investing, and living God's plan for your financial life. You'll find it available to purchase when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org, moneywiselive.org. Check us out today. My thanks to our technical team, Judy, Amy, Aaron, and Jim, for their substantial help. My thanks to you for listening in today. Please tell a friend and then join us again next time. We'll be back with a brand new edition of Money Wise Live.